Hello and welcome to Behind the Screams. As always, my name is Ian, and in today's show we are doing something very, very special. If you're watching this on the video episode, we're watching Lindsay burp, but...
I thought I was going to burp, but I got stage fright.
We are doing a very special episode. We're returning to a bonus series that we did last summer, all the way back in last summer. It's such a long time ago. We're returning to our top five series, and in this episode, in conjunction with our celebration, our month-long celebration of women in horror, we're doing our top five horror movies directed by women. But I am not alone in tonight's episode. We are also joined by the rest of the Cackle crew. We're joined by Lucy.
Hey, how you doing?
No puns tonight.
No, but this isn't a main... This is a bonus episode. You're only getting puns out of me on the main show.
Oh, right. Okay. This girl works per episode, you know?
Exactly. Gotta pay me extra for more puns.
Okay. I'll let you off then. We're also joined by Lindsay. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Everyone excited for this top five? How before we sort of get, obviously we'll do our usual plugs and things, but before we get into it, how difficult was putting this top fives together? Because when I was doing these last summer, obviously I had to do all 10 of them, and some were much more difficult to put together than others, but I actually found this one quite straightforward to put together. I had a pretty clear idea of which ones I wanted, and there's going to be, I think, a couple of surprises from my perspective anyway, especially for Lucy. I think she'll be quite pleasantly surprised by some of the things that I'm about to put in my top five and my honourable mentions. But how difficult did you guys find it?
Sorry,
there you go. To think of movies like not so difficult, but to put them in an order, like honestly, I feel like if you ask me tomorrow, I'll probably rearrange them all. But this is the top five for right this moment. I find it hard to order them, but okay. not so hard to think of films.
Okay, Lucy.
I was kind of in the same boat. It was how to order them, and I also didn't want to just talk about movies that I've talked about before in the past. I was trying to find new ones. It was good though. I think I'm excited to see what you guys say as well. I think we'll all probably be surprised by each other's choices.
I think there's going to be a few different ones in there. I mean, I think there's probably one or two that might appear on more than one list. There might be some things that we've talked about before and things that we haven't talked about before. I think it's going to be really exciting and interesting. Now, of course, you can go back. You can still check those old top five episodes. They were released last summer. Just go back and have a look. Lindsay, you were on our horror comedies and our top five underrated horror movie episodes.
Yes.
And Lucy, you were on our top five Final Girl episodes. So those were obviously fun, but there was also top five vampire movies, there was top five horror video games with Dave, there was top five horror TV shows with Tony, Nico came on, he did the vampires, I think he also did the remakes, and there was a whole host of others now that I've completely forgotten, but there was a whole host of them, so we thought we'd come back and this would be a really cool thing for us to do to as part of our Women in Horror Month. If you're listening to this, earlier this week we announced our two special guests that are coming later this month, so stay tuned. Later in the month we'll have Emma Louise Webb and we'll have Gemma Hurley on episodes as well, talking about women in horror. I know both Lucy and Lindsay and myself as well, we're all really, really excited. I'm excited to finally just sort of present Emma with her best supporting actress award that we gave her. I'm going to save the other two, get host one, and I'll present them to Gemma, so that they can both have them something. If they're listening to this, well, fuck us. Right. Before we move on, let's get into the plugs and things. Lindsay, where can people find you on the socials? What new social media accounts have you started this week?
My own personal stuff is at @highestlindsay_ on all social media. I'm also plastering my mug on TikTok on behalf of the podcast, so I have a wee swatch at that, and then give me a like.
If you're Nova Scotland, have a wee swatch means look. Look at it. Just have a look at it. You cannot miss it. It's Lindsay's beautiful face. square center in the middle of your screen. Talking to you, our first TikTok video posted, and it's the fun facts from the Exorcist episode. But we're going to be posting more promo clips and fun facts. Well, I say we. Lindsay's going to be posting more fun facts and promo clips. on that page in the coming... your coming weeks and months, so stay tuned, follow us there, and yeah, like, that'll be cool. Lucy, what about you? What's your TikTok? What TikToks are you making for us? I'm joking.
Just gay and thirst traps, honestly. That's all I post.
Nothing new there then.
No, not really. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Twitch. It's Lulu_Pew, and you can also find me chatting pretty regularly right now with the gaming podcast Grief Burrito with Haz and Jordan and Nick. And I just want to plug quickly as well, because it is Women in Horror Month, I'm also on Slay Away this month as well, and TGIF podcast, speaking about all the things women in horror. So I was really glad to be invited to go on Slay Away and invited back to go on TGIF as well, so check those out.
Yes, I'm very happy that the ladies of this podcast are out there spreading their wings across the other podcasts and the other social medias, because Lindsay's been doing a couple of appearances on other podcasts as well. You were on House That Screams and the Horror Project podcast, although I don't think that episode's out yet, though.
No, it comes out on the 19th, so in a couple of weeks.
Okay, that's cool. So keep an eye out for that as well. So yeah, like, loads. If you like our voices, we're sorry, because we're on about 10 different podcasts between us
everywhere.
Now. Because I've also been making appearances on the Girl That's Scary podcast. I've been on the House That Screams 4 times now, and they've just asked me back for my 5th, so that's going to be fun. Yeah, we're pretty much everywhere. So sorry, guys. You can find us on Twitter at Screams Behind, Facebook and Instagram's Behind the Screams Podcast, twitch.tv/ Behind the Screams Podcast. We live stream video games every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. Although last Saturday we hosted our live sort of chat show, if you will, discussing LGBTQ+ History Awareness Month. So that was fun. Lucy's been running our fundraiser for that. You ended up well above target.
Yeah, it was like nearly double. It was like 650.
Wow, that's awesome.
Around there, which is absolutely amazing. Blown away by all the support, and yeah, all went to the Trevor Project. So good, it's good cause.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much for everyone who did that. And finally, if you like this show, you'd like to hear more shows, or you would just like to support us in some sort of more physical way, go to patreon.com/behindthescreams. You can sign up there for just £1. We have 2 tiers available. There's a £1 tier and a £5 tier, but across those tiers, you get access to bonus episodes. You get early access to all of our regular episodes, although you will be getting early access to this episode too. For the first time, we're going to give you early access to one of the bonus episodes, because I kind of fucked up our recording schedule this week. That's my bad. and there's a whole host of other stuff there as well. There's prints, there's, like I say, early access, there's access to different communities and things like that. So please, patreon.com/behindthescreams, sign up from just £1, and yeah, really, really support the show. Help us keep the bills being paid. I like how before we started recording, I was like, right, let's get through this, let's get this, because we're going to go too long, and I've just done 10 minutes of fucking housekeeping. So that was good of me. Guys, are you ready to get into these lists?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, so we're talking about our top 5 horror movies that are directed by women. So for anyone who hasn't listened to one of our top 5 episodes before, what we do is we take it in turns, we go from 5 to 1. So we'll start today's episode, we're going to start with Lucy. She will give us her number 5 place, then Lindsay will give her number 5, then I will give my number 5, and then we'll move on and we'll do it again from number 4 to number 3 and all the way down to number 1. We will recap, of course, our top 5s at the end, and we'll also give some honorable mentions as well at the end. Quick disclaimer, number 1, we may discuss spoilers, so if you do not want any of these movies spoiled, go away and, I don't know what you do, because you have no idea what movies we're about to talk about, but yeah, just be prepared that there might be fucking spoilers, okay? And finally, these lists are purely down to our own personal opinion. It's always very important that I make this disclaimer. These lists may reflect any gaps in knowledge we have. Obviously, if we've not seen a movie, it cannot go into one of our top 5, so please do not get offended or aggressive. Not that I should really have to say that. If for any reason your favorite does not make one of our top fives or our honorable mentions, it's completely down to the movies that we've seen and our personal preference. So, with that being said, Lucy, hello.
Hello.
Can you please tell us what is in fifth place on your list, please?
In fifth place for me is the 2011 movie directed by Lim Ramsey, which is We Need to Talk About Kevin. I don't know if either of you have seen this movie.
I have not seen this movie.
I've seen this. I probably should give away the game, but it's my number four, so I still have a shot about it now.
Oh, it's a good, great minds think alike, you see.
Please, no one give away their number one, okay?
No. But
So some suspense.
I'll give a bit
Well,
of a
it's just
whistle.
the next one, so like, what's the point in keeping it to myself?
Oh, I didn't have to say you didn't. I just said don't give away your number one.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, I didn't know
I'll
that.
just sit here with my popcorn.
Oh, God, we've only been going 15 minutes. Anyways, carry on.
Yeah, I won't give away everything. I kind of just want to give little snippets of these movies, especially if people haven't seen them, to kind of entice them. But basically, the premise of We Need to Talk About Kevin, really great casting. It kind of, what am I trying to say? The words, sorry.
Yes,
I've had like four cups of coffee
you're
today.
trying to say the words.
But yeah, in the casting of this, it centers around a mother who's played by Tilda Swinton, and basically there's been
I
you
love
don't
Tilda
believe
Swinton.
oh yeah
Sorry.
we stan. No, I fully appreciate an interruption when it's about how
All
amazing
right,
Tilda
okay, that's
Swinton
fine.
is. No, that's totally allowed. But
I meant to
yeah,
do it
it's
more under
sent
my breath, to be honest with you. I was like, oh shit. Sorry, I did
but yeah,
it
it oh, we will get through today.
Carry
But
on.
it centers around Tilda Swinton and her son, who's played by Ezra Miller, who Ezra Miller's been in a bunch of stuff like Perks of Being a Wallflower and loads of other things. But it centers around a mother, and you don't find out in the beginning what it is, and I don't want to spoil the plot, but there's a tragedy that has happened around her son, and you see her and her relationship with her son throughout the years, from when he was born to when this event happens. I can say there's been a murder, but you don't really find out much more right until the end. But it's this psychological horror thriller. Tilda Swinton is brilliant in this movie, and it looks at just how she copes with what's happened to her, and like the it's a small town as well, and how the community feels about what's happened. It's really good. I think it has really good pacing. And yeah, Lynn Ramsey, great. I mean, she did a great job with directing this. I think it's I don't know if everybody knows about this movie. That I was actually surprised when I've spoke to people about this. I thought a lot of people had watched it, but like when I was asking a few of my friends, they hadn't seen it. So yeah, I think I'm gonna stop rambling now. Sorry, I've done 12 hours of event stuff today. I'm a bit all over the place.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. So, I like I say, I've not seen it before. Lindsay, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I love it. Like, it's a really good look at like nature versus nurture. Like, if you have a friend that's like super into like true crime and stuff like that, like I feel like this would be, we kind of talk about like, oh, what's a good starter horror? Like, if you have a friend who's really into true crime but they say they don't like horror, show them this film and it might make them change their mind, because the two worlds are very intertwined in this film. So yeah, I'd highly recommend it to anybody to give it a watch.
Okay, right. We are gonna sort of run through these quite speedily, because obviously we've got a lot to get through. We're not gonna linger too much on all of the movies, specifically the ones down the lower end of the list. I'm gonna assume that we're probably all gonna want to speak about, our top couple a bit more. So with that being said, we'll move on. Thank you very much for that number five, Lucy, and we'll go on to Lindsay. Can you tell us what's in fifth place on your list, please?
So my number five is a wee French language sci-fi horror called Evolution. It came out in 2015. I was going to name the director. She's got a really long name. I don't know how to pronounce it.
You carry on, you carry on, and I'll go and see what I can do.
Yeah, it's like told through the eyes of this wee boy called Nicolas, like in French, and he lives on an island that is just inhabited by women and young boys. And the director said that she was inspired to make the film after remembering her appendix removal operation.
Ocha.
Yeah, there's like some cult vibes to it. It's very, very weird, but definitely worth a watch. The cinematography is amazing and it's very like beautifully shot. Yeah, I think I kind of came across this film not that long ago, and I don't think a lot of people have really heard of it, so I wanted to add it to this list to shine a bit of light on it. So yeah, I'd highly recommend it.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. When you said French movie, I thought you were going to speak about a different one because I have a French horror movie on my list, but it's not this one.
No.
This one that was directed by Lucile Hadzilahalovic.
I think that's close. I did actually look up how to pronounce it.
Hadzihalilovic. That's it. Sorry.
You don't say the H's. You don't say H's in French.
Well, I'm speaking in English, aren't
But
I?
I'm just saying you were close, but you put a hard H on the start. You're not meant to do that, but yeah, you gave it a better go than I could have.
Fucking French teacher here on
I'm sorry.
the podcast. Jesus Christ. Honestly. Okay. Lucy, have you seen it? Have you seen
No,
Evolution?
I've not seen it, but it sounds like my kind of movie.
It's
It's
on Amazon
cult.
Prime.
So it is on Prime. I don't know why. When you were saying like it's shot really well and it's sci-fi-esque and everything, I'm thinking of Colour Out of Space. Does it give those kind of vibes at all? I don't know why. It just came
Well,
into my
it's
head a
funny you
little
said.
bit.
I actually thought when you said not with the sci-fi, but when you're speaking about the cinematography and the cult-like, I was thinking of Midsommar.
Oh, yeah.
So it's funny
It's a
how
bit
we took that and went in completely opposite directions with it.
darker. Like a lot of the color scheme is a lot of like grays and whites. All the female characters seem to have their eyebrows bleached for some reason. It gives them a very like alien-like appearance. But it is like the cinematography is really good.
Okay. So that's Evolution. That is the number fifth. Number fifth. That is terrible English. The fifth
You
place.
can't speak English either, as well
No,
as French.
I'm speaking Scottish now. Okay. That's the fifth placed movie on Lindsay's top five. So we'll move on. We'll come to my fifth place movie, and I'm possibly starting off with a slightly controversial one. It's a remake. And it's 2013's Carrie,
I
which
haven't
is.
seen it, I can't say
Ooh.
anything.
I think we're going to be covering it later in the year. I think it's on the schedule,
Yay.
right?
Yeah, it
Obviously,
is.
for those who are listening, we're going to be covering the original next week on the show. But this one, directed by Kimberly Pierce, it stars Chloe Grace Moretz as Carrie. It's got Julianne Moore, it's Gabriella Wilde. This movie actually gets, I think, way more shit than it deserves, obviously, because I've put it on my list here. This is like a really, really, really solid movie, and I don't feel like I'm actually doing the film justice. I think what really hurts this movie is that sort of, oh, it's a remake brigade of people that's out there. But I think if you look at this film in isolation, it's really, really well shot. It's got some really great performances in it. I think Chloe Grace Moretz is someone who, as well, who doesn't necessarily always get the credit she deserves for some of her roles. I feel like she's quite maligned by the media, and I think she's perhaps sometimes a little bit overly criticized as well. Julianne Moore, though, who plays her mother in this, she is sensational. Like, she is really,
Yeah,
really
she
good.
is.
And what I really like about this is it sticks quite close to the original, but it tweaks things and it just makes it its own, and I think that's always really smart as well. And this, and that goes for the individual performances too. I think they've sort of modernized it appropriately and proportionately, so they've not, you know, it's not suddenly we're in the 21st century and everything's all high tech and things like that. They've just, you know, she's got a mobile phone now, and that's kind of it, like, you know. So I think they've really brought it forward whilst keeping it very sort of original and keeping the aesthetic. One of the things I do actually really like about this movie as well, because there are men in this movie, the first 8 billed actors are all women as well, which is something that you never see. You never see that, do you? Unless it's an only female cast, you know, for that. So yeah, I think it's a movie that's really, really underrated. It's a movie that's grown on me over the years as well. And it's just one I think, you know, was really, really smartly done, specifically when it comes to remakes. I think anyone who's making a remake of such a well-known and loved movie will understand that there's going to be a section of the community out there who's just not even going to be interested, you know. And I think the temptation when you're doing that might be to just sort of phone it in a little bit, because you know half the people aren't going to like it anyway. And I really don't feel like they did that here. I actually think this is a really, really, really good remake. So yeah, Carrie goes into my number 5. You haven't seen it, Lindsay, you said. No. But have you seen it, Lucy?
Yeah, and I'm kind of kicking myself for not including it in this list now.
So that's the tough thing about doing these fucking lists. Honestly, you should ask how much I kicked myself when I did the TV shows one, and I completely forgot to even include the X-Files. You know, and it was I would have made it my number 1 as well, and I didn't even fucking put it in my honorable mentions. So yeah, any sort of thoughts before we move on about Carrie, Lucy?
I mean, we'll get into I think a little bit more in the episode, because I will be hosting the Carrie episode that we'll be having soon. But no, I'm in agreement with you. I think there is this kind of predetermined judgment people have when they see a remake of something so iconic as Carrie. And like you say, I mean, I do like the remake. I have to say, spoiler alert, I do like the remake. I think the cinematography is great. The casting's really good.
I hate it.
Shock horror.
I'm joking.
It's a twist. But yeah, no, I really like it. But you're totally right. When you remake something as iconic as Carrie, people are going to go into it probably being a bit pessimistic, and I think it got a lot more hate than it deserved, but we'll talk about it more in the episode. But no, I think that's a really good choice, and fuck you for picking it. I wish I picked it.
wow, that got aggressive. That escalated so quickly. Anyways, right, so that's it. That's the first round of picks done, so let's move on quickly, because we're fast moving on in terms of time here. So Lucy, oh my god, I forgot to breathe there while I was talking. I almost ran out of breath. Lucy, do you ever do that? Do you ever just forget to breathe? I do it all the time.
Forget to do the thing.
Yeah. Lucy, right, I'll try again.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us what's on in fourth place on your list, please?
In fourth place for me, and I really went back and forth on what to include in this. I thought there was going to be maybe something else, but I decided on Knives and Skin. It's quite a new movie, 2019. It's directed and written by Jennifer Reeder. I don't know if either of you have heard of this movie.
I've never even heard of it.
I've heard of it, yeah, but I've not seen it.
It's really good. It's kind of in the realm of Assassination Nation.
I was wondering, hold on. 24 minutes and 11 seconds,
yeah,
that's how long
there
it took. There's one more that we still need to measure the time for, but that's the
first
one.
this is true. But I'm trying to think of how to describe this movie. It's very much in that kind of realm. It's also kind of like if you took Twin Peaks and Riverdale and you had like a horror thriller baby, this is what that movie would be. I know that sounds like a very strange description, but it is. It's quite cheesy and campy, but it's also very feminist at its core. The plot kind of in a whistle stop tour kind of way. Basically, there's a disappearance. There's it's centered around these three high school girls, Joanna, Charlotte, and Laurel. And then at the beginning of the movie, there's a girl called Carolyn that disappears, and it's basically around that and how things aren't always what they seem. It's a very kind of cookie cutter suburban town and how things slowly envelop. It's also got lots of 80s music, and it kind of turns into a little bit of a musical at one point. And no, it's really good though. It's really inclusive. It's very feminist. And I've not really seen many movies like this. And it's my kind of wheelhouse, bit Assassination Nation, all that kind of stuff. It's, if you like those kind of movies, you'll love this.
Okay. Sounds interesting. Like I say, I'd never even heard of it before. And you haven't seen it, Lindsay, either, no?
No.
It's definitely one that I think it needs to be added to our list then. So, well, there's not really much for either of us to add to that then. Just building up the suspense, suspense here before Lindsay reveals to us. What's number four on your list, Lindsay?
So my number four was We Need to Talk About Kevin, directed by Lynn Ramsay. But I think we kind of covered all the movie stuff with Lucy. But I just really wanted to shout out like a female Scottish director, which is another reason why I really wanted to pick this Lynn Ramsay film. She's only got like 10 directing credits, but I love everything that she's made. Her last film that she put out in 2017, You Were Never Really Here, which stars Joaquin Phoenix, is absolutely amazing, has the best soundtrack. And her first film, Ratcatcher, I had to study it at uni, and it's a film that I really, really love as well. It's set in Glasgow during the 1970s bin men strike, and she's just so good at making these really emotionally charged films, and I think that's what's so good about We Need to Talk About Kevin as well. It's just, you feel all the emotions from Tilda Swinton's character. You are going through this journey with her, you know, trying to figure out like, is it her fault? Is it not? And I just think Lynn Ramsay's a master at that, and I can't wait to see what she puts out next.
Okay. Well, I guess I have not seen it, so I don't know.
But, have you seen it, any of her films?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. What else has she done?
Well, there's those two films, Morven Callar. That's a very famous Scottish film.
I've not actually seen a lot of Scottish films, to be honest. I'm a traitor to my own nation.
Oh, all the rest of the films she's done have been like shorts, but they're her four
okay.
feature films.
Okay.
That she's
someone I'll definitely need to see. This is the beauty sometimes about doing these things as well, because you learn about new people, you learn about new movies, things to add
exactly.
to your list. So I'm very much that's very interesting. Okay, so it's back to me again then, and this is the one that I was talking about earlier that's going to please Lucy, because I feel like on. You're nothing if you can't admit sometimes that you maybe got things a little bit wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've maybe underrated a certain movie. Or, you know, you've had time to reflect and sort of understand some of the themes and some of the other stuff. I think Lucy finally
uh-huh.
knows where I'm going with this. So number four on my list is a 2009 movie that's directed by Karen Kusama, and it is Jennifer's Body.
Thank you. So
when we did this on the show, I think it's safe to say that my review, I mean, I don't think I was overly nasty about it. I think when I was there, I was just like, look, this film's just really not for me. And, you know, some of the humour and things like that, I wasn't overly enamoured with at the time. But I feel like now that I've had sort of a bit of time to reflect and, you know, like you say, specifically over the past couple of years, Jennifer's Body has becoming such a cult classic in the sort of more feminist side of the genre. You know, I really sort of took a bit of time to sort of think about some of the themes that were being sort of talked about and maybe just developed a little bit of a new appreciation for it, and not purely trying to look at it as, you know, a horror comedy that's, you know, quite... you know, and I think maybe I got a bit caught up in all the marketing for it as well, which I think is very easily done. We obviously talked about it on the episode, and I think we've talked about it as well, Lindsay, at some certain points as well, about how the film was appallingly marketed and things like that. And yeah, so like, just sort of taken aback, obviously, for those who don't know, Jennifer's Body stars Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried, and dealing with the themes that it does, Having that sort of representation on there, feelings of sort of going through high school and puberty and sexuality and things like that are all, very, very important. And it is important to sort of highlight that this isn't a cheap horror flick that just for, horny teenage boys, which is what it was marketed as. It's something that's a lot deeper than that, and I think that's really important to highlight. So I'm gonna take this opportunity on record, on air, to say to Lucy, you know what? I got that one wrong.
Thank you. I'm just waiting for you to admit that about Birdemic. I'll break you down eventually.
Over my dead body.
I
Not a chance. But yeah, so I feel like, yeah, I think that's, I think it's a very important movie as well, just because of. Not even just because of what's on the screen, but for what happened off the screen. It's a really important movie to go out there and say, this is what Hollywood was doing to movies about women and trying and really sort of highlighting that issue. And that'll still go on to this day as well. So it's really important in that aspect as well. So I don't know if either of yous have Jennifer's Body further down the list, but so I won't. We'll move on. Because we've still got, we're not even halfway yet. So we'll go on. That's all of our fourth picks. Fourth picks. I never ever quite got the right way of saying this. That's all of our fourth place picks anyway for the top five. So we are back to Lucy. Tell us what's in third place on your list, please.
In third place for me is the 1989 movie Pet Sematary by Mary Lambert. Stephen King classic based on the book of the same name. But if you're not aware of the movie, just to give you a bit of a whistle stop tour. So it's based around the Creed family, and basically what happens is after their cat is sadly killed, one of their neighbors shows the father like the local pet cemetery and instructs him how to bury the cat, and then not long after, cat reappears and he gets more than he bargained for, really. That's it in a nutshell. But I think it's an important movie to bring up, and kind of I've noticed as well in our Twitter interactions as well, some people have mentioned Pet Sematary, not only for female directed movies, but just in general, a lot of people do love this movie. A little bit of a cult classic. Have either of you watched it?
Yeah, I think this is, I think you're right, because I think there's a lot of people out there as well who maybe don't realize that this is a female directed horror movie. Like you say, this is an 80s horror film as well. And female directors were not common in the 1980s. I know we're obviously late into the 80s at this point, but she really was quite a bit of a trendsetter of the time as well, and to be taking on a Stephen King novel as well, and quite a, and Pet Sematary is one of his sort of well-known pieces of work too. So to be taking that on, I think she was probably really, I mean, obviously I don't know, I wasn't born at the time, but I would imagine she was probably leaving herself open to a lot of criticism from, a lot of misogyny, and specifically around things like King purists and other such things, because you know how defensive people can be over their sort of favorites as well. I think we've all sort of had our run-ins with those types of people in, not specifically in terms of King, but just in other times. So I think this is a really, really important one, Pet Sematary. I was talking earlier about remakes with Carrie. You don't have to go see the Pet Sematary remake, just that's not a good one. So there's good ones and bad ones. But yeah, this movie I think is really important, and I really like it as well. So I would definitely recommend anyone goes out and watches it. Any thoughts, Lindsay? I know you haven't seen it.
Just I knew it was directed by a woman. I know I've not seen it, but I think Stephen King, I know we've spoke about before, like, oh, we should let certain groups of people write and direct their own stories. But I do think Stephen King is someone who actually writes very sensitively about women. We spoke about it before in the Gerald's Game episode. Spoiler alert, when she obviously has an injury on her hand, and rather than there just so happened to be a first aid kit in the bathroom drawers, she uses sanitary towels to stop the bleeding. And it's just like, of course, like every cisgender woman of a certain age is going to have sanitary towels in their bathroom. So I thought, like, stuff like that's a stroke of genius. It shows that he's really in tune with women.
Yeah, definitely.
Rather than, you know, just like ignoring that side of womanhood.
Yeah.
The attention to detail that makes a big difference.
Well, that's it, because that's really what tells you if someone's in tune or not. It's well worth noting as well that Mary Lambert directed Pet Sematary 2 as well. So obviously, studios really liked what she did with the first one, brought her back for the second one as well. So I think that's worth noting too. Okay, so that was Lucy's number 3 on the list. So we go back to Lindsay. What's number 3 on your list?
So my number 3 is the 2014 Australian film The Babadook. I watched this film fairly recently and I absolutely loved it. And it's, I feel like it's a story about so many things. Like, people will tell you, oh, it's about the Babadook. It's not. It's about grief and depression and mental health and how women are laboured with so much emotional and physical work. And I think Jennifer Kent does an absolutely amazing job of using the Babadook as a metaphor for all that. I think it's so well done. I felt really emotional watching it for the first time, actually. I felt like I could relate to Essie Davis's character really well. Yeah, I love it.
Gay icon, the Babadook.
Yeah.
We stan.
Okay, Lucy, I think you've probably been chomping at the bit since Lindsay mentioned it there.
Well, I'm not going to lie, it's my next choice.
Okay. Okay. Okay, well, I won't come to you then, and I'll let you say your piece when we get to your number 2. I've seen The Babadook once. It's not in my top 5. It's not in my honourable mentions. I found this to be a really difficult watch, not necessarily because of any sort of directing choices or anything like that. I actually thought it was really, really well directed. I find the kid really difficult to sort of sit and get through, but that's just a personal thing. I really do need to rewatch it. I'm pretty sure we'll cover it on the show sooner rather than later, so I'm not really gonna add anything more than that. I have nothing else to really say about it. There's not a lot I can really remember about it, so it's definitely something that I need to revisit and rewatch. But it's well loved by a lot of horror fans out there, which is usually pretty telling when it comes to these things. You know, for a lot of people, it's really up there with their favourites. You know, whenever I'm putting out these questions on social media, the Babadook, about favourite this and favourite that, the Babadook is mentioned by at least a few people every time. So I think that says a lot. Okay, anything else to add on that one? No?
No, not without going into spoiler territory, which
I
don't
really
do.
All right, okay. Right, so we're moving on to my number 3 pick, and this is my other French horror movie directed by a woman. This one was released in 2016, and it is the cannibal horror movie Raw. This was directed by Julia Ducournau. This was actually her feature film debut as well. She'd only done, I think, 2 shorts before this, so this was actually her big sort of break. She's not really done much since this, but obviously it was only 2016, so, you know, it wasn't a long time ago there. Look, I forgot to do the breathing thing again.
I know, I was going to say, still trying, it's okay.
And what I really like about this film is it's got quite a lot going on in it. You know, it really does deal with quite a lot of themes, and not necessarily even just themes around sort of misogyny or women's issues as well. Deals with themes like, you know, problems at university and making sort of social connections, and you know the whole thing about hazing that's covered in this movie as well. So, you know, it deals with those themes, but it's also, you know, the relationship between, you know, 2 sisters as well, and how people make those sort of social interactions. For those who don't know, probably I don't think this is really getting in spoiler territory. So there's basically this girl goes off to university. Her sister's already there, and as part of a hazing ritual, she's forced to eat. I can't remember what animal it is. She's forced to eat. She's forced to eat a bit of meat. And all of her and her family are vegetarians. And basically, when she eats this meat, she develops a taste for human flesh. And I just think this is a really, really beautiful film as well. I think the cinematography in this film is really excellent. I think everyone's performances in it are really good. And you know, like I say, on top of those themes, you know, you've got that morality of eating meat, and it's obviously taken to the very extreme in this film. But yeah, I really like the fact that it has this whole sort of melting pot of themes and issues that it deals with. It's not just making comments on one thing, so it's making actually quite a lot of social commentary. And I think that's always good. I think that's always really, really good, because there's something in there for everyone to maybe try and identify with as well. You know, even for someone like me, I'm not a young French girl. You know, for as much as I probably want to be, I'm not. So, you know, I think that's really good that there's something in there for everyone. Have you guys seen this?
I haven't seen it, but you know what? It's one of those movies that keeps popping up in recommendations from other people time and time again, and I think I really need to watch it, because like I hear a lot about it, especially from other women in the horror community, which goes to show that, you know,
yeah,
it probably must be pretty good. So yeah, I definitely plan on watching it.
Yeah, definitely. Lindsay?
I haven't seen it, but I remember it getting a fair bit of traction when it first came out at cinemas, but it didn't stay in the cinema for very long, and I really wanted to see it, and yeah, I just haven't managed to pick it up since then.
Yeah, well, I would definitely recommend that you both do that. I mean, I don't think it's available on streaming services here in the UK yet, but I would imagine that at some point in the next wee while it probably will be. Or if you can get your hands on like a I don't know if there's a Blu-ray or a DVD copy floating about online, then I definitely recommend, you know, trying to get your hands on this film. Okay, so we're into the top twos. Here we go. It's time for the big guns. I think Lucy's already spoiled her second place, so go ahead.
Yeah,
Lucy.
But not number one.
Not number one, but
I'll
your second
get to that
place.
Rule.
Your second
yeah.
place. Okay, so what's your number two?
So, Snap again with Lindsay. I get a great minds think alike,
exactly.
You know.
I must be shit.
As we just sit and laugh. We love you, really. Sorry, I'm the sassy pants tonight. I don't know what's going on with me.
Tonight? That's fucking every night, Lucy.
I mean, yeah. But yeah, my second choice, same as Lindsay's third, is the 2014 movie by Jennifer Kent, The Babadook. And I'll just reiterate what Lindsay says about it. I think it's a really great movie. You know, it covers a lot of themes. It's very emotional. It surrounds mental health. But at the core of it, it's about single motherhood as well, which I think is something that doesn't really get discussed a lot in cinema, but especially in horror. And I know we've spoken before about, you know, horror has, especially in recent years, even though, you know, previously, even sometimes now, women aren't always represented the best in horror. We do get stories about women in horror that we don't necessarily always get in other mainstream cinema. And I think this is one of them. You know, at the heart of it, it's about single motherhood, which I think is really, really important.
Anything to add, Lindsay?
No, yeah, just that I agree. Yeah, Lucy kind of hit the nail on the head, maybe a bit more clearly than I did.
For once.
because single parenthood, single motherhood does come with a lot of emotional weight attached to it. And as you watch the film, you know, nobody understands, nobody empathises, but Jennifer Kent really gets that across to the viewer, and I certainly felt those empathy and compassion for Essie Davis's character. So yeah,
okay, cool. One last thing, I know like I've not seen it, but I do like the fact that it's probably got one of the most memed and gift scenes of all time. The Babadook is the scene where she turns around in the car to the kid and she's like, why can't you just be normal? And the kid's just like, ah!
It's like an awkward moment when where you identify with both sides in that scene. So I ask people, why can't you be normal? But I'm often the one who's in the back screaming.
Yeah. I'd say more often than not, to be honest. Okay. Obviously, like I say, we've already talked about it, but yeah, the Babadook there. So, Lindsay, what's your second place movie?
My second place movie is a film that you and I have covered on the podcast before, and that is American Psycho.
Okay. So why is that a number two?
I'll just say for starters as well, like, take my top three with a pinch of salt. You could probably, like, move them all around. But
way to give credibility to the episode. This is bullshit! It's all bullshit!
I'm just saying for me, I don't say anything about you guys. I'm a Sagittarius, I can't commit to things, okay? So I picked American Psycho because I think at its heart it's a very feminist film. Like, as we know, feminism is about trying to get equality for the sexes. And that includes, like, making men okay with their emotions and stuff as well. And I feel like this film is like a masterclass into why that men need to be more in touch with their emotions. Chauvinistic, misogynistic, you know, Patrick Bateman's having meltdowns over business cards. I just think as well, this is, you know, it's got gory aspects to it. It's got really good social commentary. It's fucking funny. Like,
we're trying to coke in here.
Like, there's just like so many aspects in this film, so many things for people to enjoy. Yeah, I'd highly recommend this film.
Yeah, we went into quite a bit of detail about American Psycho, actually. And there was like a lot of backstage, off camera, behind the scenes drama and politics that were going on, because Mary Herron, you know, she quit, and then she was fired, and then they brought someone else in, and because they wouldn't cast the people she wanted, and then she was brought back, and then to still sort of go on and produce this really kind of bit of a masterpiece. This is really up there for me as one of my favorite horror movies of all time. You know, we rated it very highly in the episode that we did. I think this is an absolutely crucial movie for specifically, you know, female directors as well. I think this is, you know, for anyone who out there who might have any sort of misogynistic views about female directors, fucking watch American Psycho, because it's one of the best horror movies going.
Definitely.
Lucy, thoughts?
I was just going, like, preach. I'm like the Christina Aguilera meme from The Voice. Like, preach, preach.
And I'm just here like Michelle Visage.
But I agree with you both wholeheartedly. I love American Psycho. And I think when you think of iconic horror characters, Patrick Bateman is Christian Bale is Patrick Bateman, sorry. Honestly.
Who knows? It could be the other way around.
Well, you never know. That would be a twist.
It would be the ultimate.
Christian Bale playing Patrick Bateman is so iconic. You see the scene, you know, and he's got the blood splattered on his face, and he's got the crazy smile. Like, that's one of the most iconic horror characters ever. So, yeah, to have a female director directing such a cult classic, like you say, there's misogynistic arseholes out there that will make the comment like, oh, you know, cult movies, you know, the classics aren't directed by women. Well, like you say, American Psycho, mic drop.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you there. And, you know, 2000, it's 21 years old now, so it's hardly fresh out the box.
It's a fully grown adult in the eyes of the states then.
Exactly. It can drink in America, so.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, so we'll move on to my number two placed movie. This is a movie we're actually going to be covering on the show in a couple of weeks' time, so I'm not going to get into huge details about some of the things behind this movie, but obviously I'm kind of giving a little bit of a spoiler probably to how I'm going to rate the movie when we get to that episode, but we can't do this episode, I feel like, without me mentioning it. And it's the 2015 movie, second film on my list to be directed by Karen Kusama, and it's The Invitation. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah.
Lucy?
I've not seen it yet, but it's on my list. I really, really want to watch it. I've heard so much good things about it.
So this movie, like I say, released in 2015, And you know, when I first saw this movie, I really didn't know what to quite expect, and the film certainly subverted any expectations that I had going into the film. I certainly didn't expect it to take the turns that it did, and it really does do a fantastic job at keeping you guessing right up until that moment where the entire movie changes, you know. And it's a very slow burn at the beginning, and I know there are people out there who had this argument today with someone on Twitter, shock, about, you know, slow burn horror movies, but it is a slow burn to begin with, but it's absolutely worth the wait. And not only that, there's a lot of nuance in that build up as well about the relationships between all the various characters, because you're never really explicitly told about the relationships between everyone there. But you're sort of shown things and you know, through dialogue and other things, and you just sort of are left to piece it together yourself. And I think that's quite clever as well. I think in a lot of horror movies, there's a tendency to just be like really sort of paint by numbers, jigsaw puzzle. This is one piece, this is the other piece, they go together. Whereas this one, it really gives you loads of different aspects of the puzzle, and you're just sort of left to your own devices to put it together. So I think it's really, really cleverly filmed, cleverly shot. And possibly has one of the most depressing endings of a horror movie. I won't spoil it for anyone, but yeah, that's a pretty depressing end to the film. But Lindsay, you said you'd seen it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's a bit slow to start, but I think some films are slow to start, and you're just like, oh, come on, get on with it. But then, as this film goes on, it is like very slowly taking you down the garden path. Like, you are being very like slowly introduced to things. Like, there's method to the madness with it, and I love the ending to this film. I know you said it is a bit depressing, which I guess it is, but I was just kind of was left with like loads of questions. And I was, you know, from going in being like, oh, I'm not sure about this, to, oh my God, I need more. Like, it's such a turnaround of a viewing experience. So yeah, highly recommend.
Yeah.
I really like that film
I
as
mean,
well.
I know I said it was depressing. I like the ending. I do like the
Yeah.
ending. It's just it's not the happiest ending
No.
in the world. What I like as well, like obviously you were talking about this sort of slow build in there. There's still in that slow build, there's imagery that really sort of makes you go, what the fuck? You know, like, you know, there's the fucking, I can't remember the character's name, but there's the woman who just like first introduction of her, she's just completely poo bearing it, total like vagina out, and like you're like, what the fuck's going on? Like, you know, there's things in there that make you sort of sit back and go, oh, like I wasn't expecting that, even though
Yeah.
it's very slow burn. That's just one example. Obviously that's the one I'll pick out. But yeah, I fucking love the movie. I'd only saw it for the first time earlier in, was it earlier this year or very late last year? It was one of those movies, because it's all been on Netflix here now. Is it a Netflix film here, or is it?
I thought it was a Netflix original, but I don't think it
Because
is.
it's been on Netflix for the longest time. I remember it
Yeah.
being on Netflix now for a number of years, so I just assumed it was. And it was one of those things that was always on my watch list, and you know, just sort of never got around to it. And then one day, I think it was like around Christmas time, I was like, oh, let's just watch this, and I was blown away by it. It was so good. But yeah. So that's it. We're down to it. We're down to the nitty gritty, our number ones. Although it doesn't matter in Lindsay's case. She's like, I don't give a fuck. Fuck you, you dick. She's like, fuck you, you dick.
You said
Lucy, tell us what your favorite horror movie directed by a woman is, please.
Are you ready? Drum roll. It is Snap for the third time, American Psycho, the 2000 movie directed by Mary Harron. And I don't think there's much else I can say that we haven't already said, but absolutely iconic movie. Absolutely iconic movie. And I think there really that was the easiest choice for me when making this list. I immediately knew what my number one was going to be. It was one of those things where I was just like, yeah, it has to be American Psycho.
Yeah, that's perfectly fair. Like you said, there's nothing, there's a huge amount for us to all add to, you know, what we said earlier. Lindsay, is there anything you would like to add to it?
No, I spoke about it for an hour and a half, a few months ago.
So go check out that episode. Yeah, go check out that episode. Okay, well, Lucy, thank you. Before we move on then, Lucy, do you want to just give us a quick run through of what your top five were, please, from fifth place to first?
Yes. So number five was the 2011 movie We Need to Talk About Kevin, which is directed by Lynn Ramsey. Four was the 2019 film Knives and Skin, directed and written by Jennifer Reeder. And in third place, in third place was the 1989 classic Pet Sematary, directed by Mary Lambert. And then in second place was the 2014 movie The Babadook, directed by Jennifer Kent. And then, as we just mentioned, number one is American Psycho, the 2000 movie directed by
Mary
Harron.
Awesome. Okay. So that is Lucy's top five. So we move on. Lindsay, what is your favourite, apparently, horror movie directed by a woman?
So when I was making my list, this is a bit of a random film, but when I was making my list, this film, I kept putting it at number one, and I was just like, I don't know if I can take myself seriously by putting this at number one, but no. I just couldn't move it. I really, really like it, and my number one film is Prevenge.
Okay.
So it's about a pregnant widow who goes on a bit of a murder rampage. So it sounds dead random. It's written, directed, and stars Alice Lowe, which is a phrase that normally strikes fear into the heart of any film fan, but this is actually really good. She was kind of inspired to make it when, you know, she was still a working actress and she was getting turned down for a lot of roles, so she just thought, fuck it, I'm gonna make my own role. And I love that.
Queen.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, the film is about grief. It's about, like, prenatal depression as well. You know, there's aspects in it when talking about, like, caregiving roles and, like, how to deal with loss. So there's, like, all these, like, actually quite depressing themes about it, but it's actually really, really funny. Like, really, really funny. I'd recommend this film.
I've seen Prevenge. It's amongst my honourable mentions. I pretty much echo the things you said there, and I sort of take it back to what I can't remember which one of you said it now, but what you were saying about The Babadook and how, you know, it really sort of deals with aspects of being a woman that you don't necessarily always get to see in the mainstream media, and yeah. That whole sort of prenatal depression and things like that is something that, even if it has been represented, it's usually represented pretty poorly.
Like in both this and Babadook, that was another thing I was going to say about it, like they're both pretty much told to like get over it like all the time, so it's kind of about that emotional like weight that's always put on women, like women always have to be strong, and in these moments, like in both films where actually they've got every right to have a meltdown, they still can't have it because they have like people dependent on them. Yeah. And it's so unfair, whereas if you switched it around and made it a man, it would be about their depression, it would be fine. So those are kind of aspects I love about the film as well, and the fact that they're directed by women who understand that emotional weight that is always put on women, I think is really important as well, because I don't know if it's necessarily something a man would understand, because like I say, they're kind of absolved from it based on the fact that they're men.
Yeah, no, I would definitely go along with that. Lucy, have you seen this?
I've not seen this, but it's another one I've got to add to my list now.
Lucy's like, I'm not going to be on the show for the next 10 weeks because I've got all these other horror films that I need to watch now.
This is good, though. Like, I want all the recommendations, and if it's female-directed as well, then that's piquing my interest. So I will definitely watch it.
Awesome. Okay, then, before we move on to my final pick, Lindsay, do you want to run through your top five for us again, please?
So at number five is the Evolution 2015, because there's a few different films with the same name. And number four is We Need to Talk About Kevin. Number three is The Babadook. Number two is American Psycho. And number one is Prevenge.
Awesome. Okay. Right. So on to my number one choice then, the final pick in these lists. And I'm not even going to build up the suspense. It's American Psycho. I was exactly the same as Lucy. As soon as we decided what we were going to pick, American Psycho went straight in for my list at number one. I think I almost gave the game away when we were talking about it for your second place, Lindsay, because I was like, I fucking love this movie. It's one of my favourites of all time. And it is. Like, I really, really love this movie. It's funny, it's depressing, it's, you know, well acted, it's got a bit of everything in it, you know, and it's brutal at times, although not as brutal as the novel, but the novel was also terrible, so and that's another thing as well, you know, the novel by Bret Easton Ellis is you know, this really kind of horrific piece of work, and Mary Harron sort of managed to turn that into this really kind of masterstroke of a movie as well. So I think it's always a really good compliment of any sort of director who can take what is pretty average piece of writing and turn it into something that's so popular and so well directed and so well written as well. And I think that's all the credit, that's even more credit to the director. There's not really much else to add, because we've all had it on our lists, so we've kind of waxed lyrical about it now for a little bit, but yeah, this film's fucking funny.
It is.
It's
so, so
it is
funny. And it's maybe, if you haven't seen it, that might not be something that you would get from it. But, you know, whether it's the stuff we're already talking about, some of the funny lines, whether it's, you know, Christian Bale moonwalking across his living room before he kills someone with an axe, whether it's my favourite gif of all time of Christian Bale doing that sort of dance when he turns on the radio, you know, the sort of... that dance, which is my favourite gif of all time. The movie's fucking funny, but it deals with so much themes as well, under, like, you know, of toxic masculinity. You know, like Lindsay said, these are people who are having a fucking meltdown because someone's got a bone-coloured business card, you know, or they can't get a fucking reservation at a restaurant or whatever, you know. So, yeah, American Psycho for me was easily my number one pick. Okay, so I'll just quickly run through my top five again, and then we'll do a couple of honourable mentions, and then we'll get out of here. So in at number five for me is the 2013 remake Carrie, directed by Kimberly Pierce. Number four, the 2009 Karen Kusama movie Jennifer's Body. You're welcome, Lucy. The 2016 French movie Raw in third place. In second place, The Invitation, also directed by Karen Kusama. Sorry, Raw was directed by Julia Ducournau. And in at number one, American Psycho by Mary Harron in 2000. So that's it. That's our top fives. I'm really glad, actually, because we had... Whenever I did these last summer, I was really worried that a lot of us would just have, you know, very, very similar movies. And yeah. Barring The Babadook and used to having...
We only said three the same.
Three the same, between us. We only said three the same. You know, there's a lot of really different movies out there. And you know what? I'm kind of surprised that Lucy didn't put Jennifer's Body in her top
so
five.
Nice.
I am shooketh.
I'm not just a one-trick pony, you know. I can say other things.
Yeah, okay. Okay, right, let's get into some honourable mentions. So we'll let Lucy go first. We'll go in the same order. Anything you want to mention briefly as well that we didn't have, or you didn't have, sorry, in your list?
Well, now that you mention it, I will say Jennifer's Body. But no, it was in my honourable mentions, and The Love Witch as well. If you haven't seen that, very, very kind of campy supernatural movie. It's by Anna Biller, I believe, is the director. That was kind of my two, to be honest, was The Love Witch and Jennifer's Body were my honourable mentions.
Okay. Lindsay?
And my honourable mentions was The Invitation. I've only seen it the once. I think maybe if I'd seen it again so I could like absorb it again, maybe it would have had one of my top five spots. But very, very, very good movie. Looking forward to doing it when it comes time on the podcast. And also revenge, films about that subject matter make me angry and make me want to kill somebody, and I'm so glad that I could watch the main character do it on screen for me. I was absolutely rooting for her, cheering for her. Absolutely amazing film, love it.
I've covered it on the show previously.
Yes.
And you know, it wasn't my favourite movie of all time, but one of the things I did like in, as well about it, you know, and you're talking about that genre of movie, and most people go to things like I Spit on Your Grave and things like that.
Yeah.
One of the things I liked about Revenge was that it was quite tastefully done when it came to that sort of time of the movie. And, you know, if anyone's seen it, they'll know what I'm talking about, you know. Whereas things like I Spit on Your Grave and things like that, they very much feel very exploitative and kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
Whereas I really did feel that Revenge was quite tastefully done in that aspect of the film. And then, you know, I had a few issues around other things with the movie, but she went on to be a pretty big badass bitch and has one of the most cringeworthy scenes in my life. I was talking about this, I think it was with Ashlina, actually. You know the scene I'm talking about where the guy stands on the glass and he's like trying to scoop the glass out of his foot?
Yeah,
that's my reaction to it when I watched it. That's like, oof. Oh no, I can't. It's horrendous. But anyways, was that it for your honourable mentions?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I've got a big fuck off list, so sorry guys, but I'm gonna have to go and do this to you. I want to shout out. There's a few things that I want to shout out, even though like they're not necessarily my favourite movies, but I feel like they're quite important. So I want to shout out the Slumber Party Massacre franchise from 1 to 3. Three horror movies in a franchise, all directed by different women as well. So I think that's massively important to highlight, you know, because that's something like, especially back in those days, we were talking about it with Pet Sematary, having a female directed horror movie was quite a rare thing anyway. So to have this entire franchise that's been directed by, you know, three different women was really important. And in a similar vein, in possibly one of the most famous franchises of all time, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, which was directed by Rachel Talalay as well. I think that's a fact that's often overlooked or forgotten by a lot of people, but that was a horror movie. It was directed by a woman, and you know, it's part of one of the biggest franchises of all time. So I think that's really important to highlight as well. But in terms of, I also had Pet Sematary on my honourable mentions as well. I also had Prevenge and Revenge. I also have A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. I have the 2019 Black Christmas, Satanic Panic, the horror anthology XX, Tigers Are Not Afraid, Scream Queens, and even to some of the more schlocky stuff like See No Evil and also Carrie 2, The Rage as well on the list, and Urban Legends, Bloody Mary. Even though, you know, like I say, they get into the more schlocky end of things, but I think a lot of these movies are really important to highlight. So they're all on my honourable mentions. One thing, because I've not seen it yet, but I've seen it's very, very new out, and I've seen a lot of people talking about it, is Saint Maud. I don't know if you guys have seen this one sort of floating around.
I haven't, but everybody seems to have seen it except me.
everyone and their mums are talking about it just now. I've not seen it yet, but I wanted to just sort of mention that as well, because that's one that hopefully we'll be checking out sooner rather than later. Okay, anything else any of you guys want to add about anything that we've spoken about today?
I think we've covered like a really wide range of films. I think we spoke about a lot of different sub-genres of horror, and just I don't know if there's any young potential female writer director, but yeah, there's definitely hope for more women in horror. So yeah, don't get discouraged by all the silly white men that are doing it, because there's definitely room for us girls as well.
I think that's one of the things that I wanted to highlight as well, like you're saying, with the shubs genres. That's why I wanted to bring up things like Slumber Party Massacre and Freddy's Dead, because, you know, that's a genre that's been so dominated, probably even more so by male directors than potentially some of the others. And as well, I want to bring them up. All of the movies on my list were 2000 or later. I didn't have anything from the 20th century. I know, Lucy, you had Pet Sematary, and did you have, Lindsay, did you have anything from before 2000 on your list?
No.
No? Okay.
But one film I actually really did want to see, I could not find it anywhere, was Near Dark, which is directed by the only woman to win an Oscar for directing, Catherine Bigelow. So if anyone's seen that, please let me know if it's on streaming, because I could not find it anywhere.
I'll keep an eye out for it for you. Yeah, but no, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we've covered a lot of different types of movies here, and I think that was one of the sort of big points of doing this episode in conjunction with our, you know, celebratory month of Women in Horror, was that, you know, women aren't just defined to one story type. They aren't, you know, they aren't confined to one type of story, one genre, you know, and in a lot of cases the movies they make are equal to or better than the ones that men make. So, you know, the fact that we've talked about things like American Psycho, like The Invitation, like The Babadook, you know, look, around all these things you're always going to have personal preference, and there's always going to be certain things you don't like, and that's fine. But what we don't obviously stand for is people who just actively don't like these things because of the fact that it's directed by women. So we really wanted to highlight the sort of wide range of movies that are actually out there. And obviously, as I just sort of highlighted, specifically over the course of the last decade and the last two decades as well, you know, there has been a lot more. A lot of progress has been made, but obviously we've still got so far to go. Over the course of the coming month as well, we're going to have a lot more discussions around these sorts of things, specifically as well with our two special guests that we're going to have on later in this month. In next week's bonus Sunday show, we will have returning to the podcast Emma Louise Webb, who you probably know best from Host. She is, of course, the winner of our 2019-2020 Behind the Screams Horror Award for Best Supporting Actress as well, so it would be great to see her. And then later in the month, also who worked on Host, the co-writer of Host, Gemma Hurley, will be coming on the show. They're both coming on to specifically talk to us about women in horror and maybe some of their experiences as well. So I'm very, very much looking forward to hearing, you know, what they've got to say. And what I'm really looking forward to that as well is getting that sort of opinion from a slightly younger perspective as well. You know, because, you know, I'm not that any of us are old people, because we're all young people, but from within the industry, you know. And I think that'll be really interesting to see what they've got to say as well. Don't forget to check out our other episode that we released earlier this week. It was our first episode. It was my pick, and we did Ginger Snaps. It was a really, really exciting episode. It was really fun to record. We got into some really good discussions around sort of puberty and menstruation. So if that's your bag, go check that out. we've had some praise on the socials for our period discussion. So,
oh, that's good.
That's good.
And quite fucking right too. Lucy. Next up, though, is your choice. I know you talked about it briefly on earlier and on the Ginger Snaps episode, but since we're here, what is it you're covering this? What you've picked for us to cover this week?
The covering the classic, the iconic Carrie, the original one. But we will speak about the remake as well. I do want to speak a little bit about the remake in the episode too. So that'll be my first episode for Women in Horror Month hosting, talking about Carrie. I'll be excited to speak to you both about it, just especially at the time when Carrie came out in like the 70s as well. I think it spoke about certain themes that were quite controversial back then. We'll be speaking more about menstruation, don't you worry. I'm really excited to talk about it. I think it'll be a good one.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very excited about it. We've got some other awesome movies that we're going to be talking about this month as well. We've got Sophie coming back on the podcast too to talk about The Invitation. Lindsay's got a really I think your pick is the only one I hadn't seen. So out of all the sort of month's choices. So I've still not seen it. I've been holding off till nearer the time, but I'm still very, very excited to talk about that. And I know Lucy has a very interesting second choice for her pick of the month.
Yeah.
At least I've seen that one. But yeah, so it's going to be a really, really interesting month. You'll hear a lot less of my voice this month, which is Fantastic for me, fantastic, I'm sure, for all of you guys who are listening. It's definitely going to be fantastic for Lucy and Lindsay. So yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot more from Lucy and Lindsay this month, and a lot less from me. So that's good all round. But let's get out of here, shall we? Lindsay, where can people find you on the socials?
I am on all social media at @HiItsLindsay_.
Awesome. Lucy?
And you can find me on Twitter and Twitch at @Lulu_Pew.
Very, very smoothly done there, Lucy. Forget, you can find us on Twitter at Screams Behind. Facebook and Instagram is at Behind the Screams Podcast. Behind the Screams Podcast on TikTok. We launched our TikTok this week. Lindsay's beautiful face on our TikTok talking about The Exorcist, some fun trivia from The Exorcist, but we've got new videos coming in the coming weeks and months as well, so please go check out our TikTok. It's the link is on our Facebook page, it's in our link tree, it's in the description for their episodes now, so yeah, go check out our TikTok and show us some love in there, we'd really appreciate it. twitch.tv/behindthescreamspodcast. We stream Mondays, Wednesdays, Saturdays and Sundays. Dave does the Saturdays and I do the other 3 days. A whole variety of horror video games. We've been streaming things like Dead by Daylight, Silent Hill 2, which I just completed. I've also just started Alan Wake. We've also been doing a whole variety of other things as well. Dave's been doing Resident Evil, he did The Medium, he did Little Nightmares 2, he's done Outlast 1 and 2, and we've got a whole lot more coming up. And I think as time goes on, we'll probably start playing some other less horror related stuff as well, just so that we've got a bit of variety in there. But go check that out every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. GMT. And finally, if you would like to support this podcast, if you like what you hear and you either want to hear more episodes or get some more content, and you would like to maybe support us in a slightly more sort of physical way, you can go to patreon.com/behindthescreams. You can sign up there either at the £1 tier or the £5 tier. We appreciate you no matter which tier you sign up at. We appreciate everyone who's willing to part with some of their hard-earned cash to help us pay our bills and to keep the lights on. So thank you to everyone. I shockingly forgot to write down the list of people on my notes, so I will shout yous out next time. I do apologise. But you'll get access to bonus content. There's 4 bonus episodes posted there a month. Our first round, we've been offering a mini print for people who subscribe to us for 3 months at the £5 tier, and the first round of posts, mini prints are getting sent out this month, so a number of you guys who have been subscribed to us at the £5 tier will be receiving your mini prints in the post. So if you do that and you receive it, tag us in it, take a photo, we would love to see it, we would love to see you with your mini print. So please go and do that as well. But I'll stop rabbiting on now and we'll get out of here. So thank you once again to Lucy and Lindsay for joining me for this week's episode. Thank you to everyone who downloaded and listened at home, and we hope you will join us next time on Behind the Screams.